Good morning for those visiting or with us for the first time in worship with Clay Church. I just want to say hello. I'm Pastor Brian, and we are blessed. I feel blessed to be worshiping with you today. This is actually, I think, a really good time to be with us at Clay Church. As today is an exciting day. It's a launch of sorts. Have you ever wished that you understood the Bible better? Like, maybe you have some idea about it, but you'd like to have a better understanding of what it says and some of the books that are within it. Or maybe right now, I wonder, are some of you just like wondering about faith and life or Jesus and maybe searching for meaning in the world today? How does that all fit together? Or maybe you're with us today and you're just wondering, what difference does knowing Jesus make in someone's life or in the life of a community? What difference does the church make in the world? Today, we're beginning what's going to be a 9-month walk through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And we're going to be asking as we go, what difference does knowing Jesus make in our lives and in the world? What does it look like to live in faith every day? That's the title for this 9-month experience ahead for us that we're launching today. Living in faith every day, life. For those of you who've been a part of Clay Church for a while, I hope you recognize that tagline. And to explore what it might look like for us to live in faith every day and for Jesus to really have an impact on our life and on our community and on the world, we're going to read through the Bible with two core questions that we're going to just keep asking. Question number one, how does my life reflect the love of Jesus to others? You might think of it this way. How does my life help others see and know the love of Jesus? And the second question, what are we doing to contribute to a more Christ-like community? How does the Bible call us to not just talk about it? What does the Bible call us to do as a church to contribute to a more inclusive and more Christ-like community? I want to invite you today to join us every week in worship for this journey together, so we can learn together and we can grow together as we explore books of the Bible. And we're going to explore some stories you know and hopefully open them up in new ways. And we're probably going to explore some stories from the Bible over this journey that you don't know. And also know that when you can't join us in person on Sundays, you can always catch up during the week. The messages are always online at claychurch.com, or you can find them on the Clay Church app. And also know that you're invited, and I'll repeat this at the end, you're invited in this journey to read Scripture every day. On the Clay Church app, if you sign up for notifications, you can sign up and get a Scripture verse and a question that sort of propel you into exploring it for yourself. You get one of those every day of the week. And the app and the website also have links to our Clay Circle Sermon Guide. So whether you're in a circle or outside of a circle, you can use that guide to study and learn and grow as we do this together. So you ready? Are you ready to learn and grow? Are you ready? I love this way of thinking about it. Are you ready to be transformed by the love of Jesus? That's what we're about at Clay Church. Are you ready to be transformed in powerful ways? So I thought it might be fun to do a countdown, right? And a countdown to launch. And then I thought, that's just weird. It'd be really weird even if you were in here in this sanctuary with me, but you're not. And so it's even more weird. So I thought, you know what? How about we just pray to start? Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. Lord, take our minds, all of us gathered, wherever we are, take our minds and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If your life was a movie, what would you want it to be titled? Notice I didn't ask what would it be titled, like Man with the Messy Office. Right? We could be particularly critical of ourselves with this title. That's not what I'm inviting you to do. I'm inviting you to think about if you could make your life into a movie, what would you want the title to be, knowing that you could live into that title that you're choosing? And really, just because I think this thought process could be kind of fun, who would you want to play you in the movie of your life? Not who looks like you or maybe who acts like you, but like what actor would you turn to that you'd say, I really want them to play me in the story of my life? Matt Damon, by the way. And who would play your best friend or significant other? I'm not going to answer that one. I might get in trouble with Cheryl. And now a bit more serious question. Who is the author of your story? Who is the author of your life story? Donald Miller is a writer, and today he actually leads seminars as a marketing consultant. A number of years ago, he wrote a New York Times bestseller called Blue Like Jazz. It's a great book. It was well-received. It's autobiographical, and it's a set of stories about his life, and it really, really has a deep faith story within it. Wonderful testimony to his Christian faith. A few years after he wrote the book, Donald Miller, in his own words, says he was in sort of this funk and just wondering about sort of purpose and meaning and what was next for his life when a couple of producers came and they wanted to take Blue Like Jazz, his essentially autobiographical stories, and they wanted to make them into a movie. And so he said yes, that he was open to this, and they asked him essentially to take it and create a screenwrite of his story. I've heard him speak a couple of times about the experience, and he relates that it was just strange, he says, just strange, because he's editing his own life essentially to make it a better story for the big screen, right? Or at least a more relatable story for the big screen. Can you imagine, like, if you had this opportunity to take your life and edit it to make it a more relatable story or a better story for a movie, right? It's just strange. Donald Miller, he wrote a book about the experience. It's called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. And listen to this passage, right? Essentially, it's what he learned from this experience. Listen to this passage from the book as he shares a piece of what he learned. He says, if you think about it, we get robbed of the mystery of being alive. It's a fairly amazing thing, you know. Even if you believe life is an accident, that we are all here by accident, it's still an amazing thing. It might even be a more amazing thing if we are really here by accident. What are the chances, honestly? Still, I think we get robbed of the glory of it because we don't remember how we got here. When you get born, you wake up slowly to everything. Your brain doesn't stop growing until you're 26, you know. So from birth to 26, God is slowly turning on lights. And you're groggy and pointing at things and saying circle and blue and car. And then sex and job and healthcare. The experience is so slow, you can easily come to believe life isn't that big a deal. That life isn't staggering. What I'm saying is, life is staggering. And we are just too used to it. We're all of us like spoiled children, no longer impressed with the gifts we are being given. It's just another sunset, just another rainstorm moving over the mountains, just another child being born, just another funeral. And Donald Miller goes on and he says, when I was writing myself into a movie, I felt the way that God feels as he writes the world, sitting over the planets, placing tiny people in tiny wombs. If I have a hope, it's that God sat over the dark nothing and wrote you and me specifically into the story. And he put us in with the sunsets and with the rainstorms as though to say, enjoy your place in my story. The very beauty of it means it's not about me. It's not about you. And in time, that will give you comfort. This quote leads me back to this question. Who is the author of your life? Your story. Have you ever thought about this? Like if we just go through the motions of life, and I don't know about you, but I'm going to guess all of us have these times and periods in our life when we are just sort of going through the motions, we're surviving day in and day out, not really paying attention to the author of our story. We're just trying to get through the day. And the thing is, when we're going through life that way, just moment to moment, trying to survive and not thinking about anything else, it's really easy, I think, to let our story or the story of our life to be shaped by other forces and other powers. I think about this, right? Culture is ready and willing to help author your story. Right? Culture is happy to tell a story of your life of great success. You've made your way to a bigger house, a nicer car, a better paying job, successful kids, more stuff. Culture would love to write that story. Culture also loves to write the story of failure, big failures in life, right? You lost your job, your kids are in trouble, your house isn't like your neighbor's. Culture is happy to tell that story too. Right? And this story that culture wants to tell for you is how you stack up and how popular you are, how you climb the social ladder or the work ladder, how your voice and image are amplified in the social media world. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Romans 12:2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Exodus 23:2. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Proverbs 14:12. Culture is happy to try to author your story, but is this the story that you want told by your life? Is your job success or your financial successes and failures, is that really the story that you want to define your life, to be remembered for? Donald Miller says elsewhere in his book that, right, no one wants to go to a movie about someone finally driving off the lot with their brand new Volvo. If you watch that movie, you'd want your money back. He's asking, don't you want a richer and more meaningful story for your life than the story that culture wants to write with our lives? So perhaps we should choose a different author for our story, a different writer, director, team for our story. Luke chapter 4, it says, then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Authority. Jesus' words have authority, the power to author life. You see, there's another author ready to write the story of your life in his words. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, Luke shares the story of the healing of a blind beggar by Peter and John. And Peter, after the healing, he's sharing with the onlookers essentially where this power of healing comes from. And in relating the story, Peter identifies Jesus as the author of life. Isn't that a great title for Jesus? The author of life. Right, it's as though Jesus stands ready to author in your life a story of healing and love, of courage and seed planting, of caring and hope, of resurrection and life beyond death. Jesus wants to write an eternal story. An eternal story in your life. And I think it's so easy to this, we say, but there are forces that I can't control that are writing my story. And you're right. I mean, you're right in the sense that there are things that we can't control. There's human free will. There's the way that the world is broken that we cannot control. Yet we do. We get to decide what defines our story. When moments of joy happen, we get to define whether we think it's just because we're great on our own or because we recognize that God has given us gifts and opportunities in that moment and that joy comes from God. When things turn sour and difficult, we get to decide whether that story is going to be defined by hopelessness and a thought that we're never even going to get through this, or by a story that says Jesus cries with us and feels the pain that we feel and walks with us and will see us through. We get to decide what defines our story. So how do we do that? How do we let God be the author of our story? And we find the answer in Scripture. We find the answer in the Bible. Right? Followers of Jesus let God's word be the author of their story. Followers of Jesus let God's word be the author of their lives. In church language, you'll sometimes hear people talk about the authority of the Bible or the authority of God's word. And I think in a way that can be unfortunate, this sometimes gets interpreted really legally, like the Bible is the rule book to follow, or that the Bible is ultimately the book of judgment, like a judge that has authority in the courtroom. It's more helpful, I think, to think about the Bible as it talks about its own authority. Its own authority, the root of that word is author. And so the Bible is our holy book because as we interact with the words on the page, it has the power to speak the way of Jesus and the way of God into our lives. It has the power to author our story, our actions and reactions in the world. Right? The Bible is the story of God. That's why it's our holy book. And we believe that in our encounter with the story, in reading the poetry and the law and the teaching and the narrative and the history and the words of Jesus that make up this story, that God speaks into our lives, creates in our life, authors our life. I think sometimes people hear pastors talk about the importance of reading the Bible, and they think, well, yeah, it's a rule for our life. We should read the Bible. But the reason that pastors invite the congregations and communities to read the Bible is because in these words are life. In these words, we find a way to live into the world that God wants for us. And it's so important to realize that the story of the Bible is told in all of these different kinds of literature. There's poetry that can move us, that can challenge us, that can soothe our spirits when we're having difficult days, that can remind us that others have lamented in the ways that we cry and lament the brokenness in the world. And there's history that we can learn from that shows us how others navigated the world as people of faith. Their laws, teaching that help us to understand boundaries in our own life and ways that God calls us to live. And then there is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his teaching, his example, his sacrifice. We're about to embark on this journey through the Bible. And as we do, I want to invite us to just start with this question. Who is the author of your story? Who do you want to be the author of your story? And then I want to invite us to read the Bible together, to let our lives interact with God's Word. And in a community that can help God's Word come to life in ours, to then author our stories, to let ourselves be challenged, to encourage each other to grow, ultimately to let these words guide us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. So let me invite you to join us in deepening our faith. And our first step together is going to be to read the Bible daily. And I want to offer two possibilities today for you to do that. The first one would be this. I had a friend who found this incredibly meaningful, and I've used it once or twice in my life. I'll admit it's not the way that I tend to read and grow the Bible best, but I want to share it as one example, which is to pick a book of the Bible. And if you haven't read a lot of the Bible before, I might recommend starting in the beginning, and Genesis can be a great place, or to pick a gospel, Matthew or John, in particular, a great place to do this. And each day, open up to that book and just read until something enlightens you, until God speaks into your life in some ways. Maybe it'll be something that you learn about God or about Jesus that you didn't know before. Maybe something as you're reading just connects with where you are in life right now. Just read until something speaks to you, and then put a bookmark there and pause there, and then the next day pick it up and read from there until something speaks to you the next day as well. Or a second possibility is each day we at Clay Church, as we grow together out of our Sunday messages, we provide scriptures to read. And this week, the scriptures will be based around this message. And invite you to read that scripture and grab the question. And each day at around sometime late morning, you can get that notification. Or you can find those questions online. Invite you to schedule a time each day. Maybe it's when they come. Maybe it's when you get up in the morning. Maybe it's before you go to bed, to read that scripture. Spend a little bit of time with that question. God is writing a story in the world. A story of redemption and a story of sacrifice, a story of God's power overcoming the darkness and a story of resurrection. And you are invited to be a part of that story. And that story, as it's told in the Bible, becomes our story as we read it and we let it inform our lives when we invite Jesus to be the author of our life. May our reading enrich our lives. May our time in the scriptures create the space for the Holy Spirit to move in and through us. And may the power of God's word lead you into a life filled with more peace, more courage, more comfort, more hope, and a deeper sense of God's love. Amen.